VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. As you may know, tensions around the world are escalating. I mean, we are seeing alliances being formed between communist China, Russia, Iran, and other rogue nations. They're beefing up their military readiness and funding. Within the last week, China's President Xi Jinping announced that China was preparing for war. But as for the U.S. military, listen to these headlines posted by various news sites in the past several weeks. Here they are. The Biden administration is now ordering the military to allow male soldiers to shower with females. Army revamping, Be All You Can Be campaign. Republicans demand answers from West Point over pronoun play-acting training session. Pentagon researchers urge more access to sex change hormones for military kids. Secretary of State Blinken defends funding drag shows. Biden administration makes Coast Guard pay for abortion travel, give 21 days leave for killing babies. Bouncy houses and goodie bags inside the military's drag queen events for kids. Biden aims to shrink the Navy while the Secretary of the Navy focuses on climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, and I know it's not politically correct to say that, but ladies and gentlemen, this begs the question, are we pursuing military readiness or military wokeness? Joining us today, we welcome Elaine Donnelly. She is president of the Center for Military Readiness. They're an independent, nonpartisan public policy organization that reports on and analyzes military and social issues. Since its founding in 1993, CMR has advocated for high, uncompromised standards in all forms of military training and sound priorities in the making of military social policies. Elaine, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for that introduction, but it's hard to figure where do you begin?
Yeah.
The situation is indeed dire.
In contrast,
with the threats against America, when we look at what's happening with our military, it's worse than not inspiring confidence. It really inspires worry and concern. And the people in the military, they're not to blame for this. The policymakers are the ones who are changing priorities. They're putting diversity, equity, and inclusion, known as DEI, above military readiness and high morale and high standards. The priorities have been turned upside down.
They have been, and we're going to break this down, peel back the layers of the onion here, so to speak. But let me just ask, as a baseline for a discussion today, Elaine, if you had to plot on a graph right now where the U.S. military is pertaining to readiness between 1 and 100, 1 being the lowest level of military readiness, 100 being the highest level of readiness, where would you plot us?
It depends on how you register it. I think in terms of materiel and readiness, ammunition, planes and ships and everything like that, we are nowhere near what we were during the time of winning the Cold War or even right after the first Persian Gulf War. There has been a steady erosion. I think it's very concerning that our petroleum reserves have been drained and they will not be replenished. We have an awful lot of weapon systems that are being transferred to Ukraine. There's no plan to reinstate those. But when you look at the people in the military who are most important, there are so many reasons why people are considering leaving the military or not joining in the first place or not encouraging their children to join if they're already in the military. There's an awful lot of evidence of that. And it makes you wonder, if we have an all-volunteer force, how can it continue if there are so many incentives not to volunteer? I'm very concerned about this because it's the only military we have. We have civilian control of the military. That means that all of us, as civilians, we have the obligation to remind our members of Congress and the senators, look, don't be pressuring the military to expend so much time and resources on woke initiatives, and I'll explain that in a minute. You need to insist that the focus be put on high standards, readiness, everything that's needed to deter aggression and to protect the United States and our allies, and to do so in a principled way, as we always have. Right now, well, what we saw in Afghanistan, what, a year and a half ago, we haven't recovered from that. It was such a shock to see the United States. It wasn't that they left Afghanistan. That was going to be part of the plan. But the way it was done and all of the equipment that was left behind, it really was a disgrace, and it's discouraged a lot of people and caused them to think twice about the whether or not they should join the military.
You know, it appears that this wokeness of today's military is really escalating like we've never seen before. And we'll get to where we're at with this and look at some solutions. But, Elaine, where did this begin? What is the genesis of these woke policies invading the military?
Well, first of all, let's define what that means. Mm-hmm. Pentagon officials lately like to pretend like they don't know what it means. The Secretary of the Army said she didn't know what that meant. We had General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, either pretending or in truth saying that he didn't even know that there were these drag queen events, story hours, and events that are aimed at children, so-called family-friendly. He claimed he didn't know about them, that if they are happening, they shouldn't happen. It's been happening under his nose for several years.
Yes.
When you see that happening and people are trying to deny what's going on, let's get to the basic of what do we mean by woke. It's an awkward word. A couple of years ago, I'd never heard it before, but what it means is this. It is another name for progressivism. Progressivism used to be liberalism. Now we call it progressivism taken to extremes with coercion and done in a way that this happens even if it hurts the institution. So it has to do with some of the sex issues, yes, but even things like climate change. You have progressive policies taken to extremes with coerced compliance, even if it hurts the institution. So if you have Pentagon officials saying, oh, we're going to turn, and the president has said this, all of the vehicles that are not combat vehicles, they're all going to have to be electric-powered. Well, where are you going to plug in these electric-powered mm-hmm. vehicles in a war zone? It makes no sense,
right.
but they have somehow convinced themselves that the planet demands that we harm our own military and put greater demands on the electric grid that is already overtaxed, as we know. Let's do that for the sake of being woke. That's what woke means. You embrace policies like that, and you impose them with coercion, even if it hurts the institution. So regardless of what issue it is that you're looking at, if it's extreme, if it's being imposed with coercion, and if it hurts the institution, that is a woke policy.
Well, let's look at some of these policies, and there are several we'll hit, but let's begin with CRT, critical race theory.
Yes.
I know this is something you've been following. It's been morphing into the military. You've even watched how this children in the educational setting are receiving this and being brainwashed by it. Comment on the CRT aspect.
Well, this is another term that a few years ago people had not heard of. Now, pretty much everyone should understand it because it's probably in your children's schools. It certainly is in the military, the service academies. It's been proven over and over again. Critical race theory is divisive. It has it involves a number of books that have been written, popular books, that divide people into racial groups. You have white people who are suspected or just assumed to be racist or white supremacists, and then you have another group of people who are not white or in that category, and they're assumed to be, well, underserved or harmed in some way by the racism of others. And when you go into a school, a military school, and even the kids of military parents, and you teach this kind of ideology, then you expect the same people who accuse each other of racism or assume that the other is a victim of racism, and then you're supposed to go out and fight a war together. It is inherently divisive, and if you introduce this philosophy into the schools of military parents, it's even worse, because there is an element of CRT that is anti-American. It says the United States and its founding documents, its founding fathers, all are rooted in racism, and yet here is a child in a Department of Defense school. Their parents or the child's parent is in the military. Well, why are you defending a racist country that was founded by people who were racists and had slaves and all the rest of it. You see how divisive that is.
Well, yeah, you're privileged. I'm not privileged.
Yes,
how does that?
Privileged and unprivileged.
Cohesion has got to be greatly impacted by this.
Right, right. And the fact that Pentagon officials, number one, encourage this, and secondly, deny that they're encouraging it, that is demoralizing in itself. So many members of Congress have received messages, I mean hundreds, thousands of them, from active duty people, usually on a confidential basis. Websites have been set up for that purpose. And people have said, I've just had it. You have to go in. You have to go to these courses. You have to participate. The only way you can claim to be anti-racist is to admit that you're racist. That's how it works with white fragility and some of the books by Ibrahim Kendi. And until recently, a woman named Calissa Wing, she's written some booklets for children. One of them, I actually ordered three of these, Racial Justice in America, What is White Privilege? This is one of her books. What is Anti-Racism? Then she has one about Black Lives Matter. Until recently, she's been removed from this position because of the controversy. She was the head of diversity and inclusion in the Department of Defense school system. It's called DOD Education Activity, DODEA. It's the largest school system in the world. And this woman was in charge of all this curriculum. Because of questions raised about her own writings, she's been reassigned. But guess what? The DEI programs are going to be remaining. They're just going to be worked into the curriculum in a way that you can't see them or identify them or defund them. This is how things just kind of burrow in. So this is a real problem. There is a bill pending to get rid of this, and there's so many of them, it's hard to keep them all straight. But I think this one was offered by either Senator Ted Cruz or Senator Tom Cotton or both. And then there's comparable bills on the House side to get rid of critical race theory instructions in all of the school systems in the military and the various branches of the military.
Is this also impacting promotions in the military?
Advancement? Well, then you get into, everything is all interlinked. You've got CRT, and you've got diversity, equity, inclusion, and then you have the transgender policies. They're all interrelated, even though they're somewhat distinct. And a corollary is the anti-extremism training that took place right at the start of the Biden administration. They found only 100 cases of inappropriate behavior, but it was a big deal, and they spent tons of money and man hours devoted to find those 100 extremists under the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, who seems obsessed about these kinds of things. Anyway, if you don't go along with these woke priorities, yes, your promotion could be denied because of a cohort of people. They're called Chief Diversity Officers, CDOs. Now, CDOs have been in existence for a long time, but what they do is if someone is promotable, they're at mid-level and they want to go higher, you go beyond a certain level, and if you don't support all of these beliefs, then you're not going to get promoted. That's the job of the chief diversity officers. So there is legislation, or has been offered in the past, to eliminate these CDOs. But it'll take enough votes to get it through Congress, and who knows, the 118th, they just might do that.
Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. A quick break here on Crosstalk. Elaine Donnelly is with us today, president of the Center for Military Readiness. And our topic today is military readiness or military wokeness. More to come after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast do stars change from one type of star into another?
Chris, evolutionists are fond of saying that changes in stars take millions of years to occur. But it's important to remember that they've never seen stars do anything for millions of years. And yet sometimes we do see stars undergo dramatic change quickly. Recently, a star was observed to change in only a few years from a white dwarf star about the size of the Earth to a giant star 80 times wider than the Sun. An increase in volume of over 500 million. Evolutionists used to insist that such changes took long periods, but when we see it happen rapidly. Evidently, the biblical doctrine of recent creation of all things is accurate. Back to Genesis, that's the view that fits the facts.
For more on Genesis, visit our website at icr.org. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Elaine Donnelly is with us today from the Center for Military Readiness as we're talking about military readiness or military wokeness. By the way, there you'll find much information on their website, cmrlink.org. cmrlink.org. That stands for Center for Military Readiness, cmrlink.org. Elaine, it's hard to fathom the magnitude on how far the military is really plunging what some would call like sexual experimentation. And I'd like you to help our audience understand the training, or should I say the indoctrinating that's going on in the branches of the military as it relates to things like pronoun usage or the promotion of drag queen events or ordering male soldiers to shower with females. What does the public need to know?
Well, the Biden administration has picked up where the Obama administration left off before Donald Trump, with a transgender policy that is even more sweeping. And I think we're going to be seeing, or there will happen, a number of negative results, but we may not hear about it because the new policy also says there should not be a disclosure of information about problems with the transgender policy because it is considered personal and private.
My.
Now, there's nothing personal and private about a person who says, "Look, I was born a male, but I am now a female, and you have to treat me as such, and that means I get to cross-dress on base, not just off base, as it was under Obama, and everybody has to accommodate the fact that I believe I am a woman. I am a woman, therefore, not only do I get to use the facilities of the opposite sex, in other words, women." The policy several times says that once your marker, your bureaucratic sign of what sex you are gets changed under the bureaucratic system, it's called DEERS, that's an acronym. Once that happens, everybody has to pretend that you really are a different sex, even though your biology has not changed. You cannot change sex because it's there even before you're born. It's called DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's scientific. Look it up. But if someone identifies as a person of the opposite sex, if they have gender dysphoria, what they deserve certainly is competent medical care. They need to know all the risks of going into a regime of trying to change their biological sex. They deserve compassion, but they don't deserve to have everyone go along with what it is that they believe, even if it's not true. And then the military, of course, is absorbing enormous expenses in order to provide medical treatment for gender dysphoria for as long as it takes, and nobody really knows. The costs, the risks, the results, everything is all kind of shrouded. We don't know the full extent of it. Well, we do know that, for the first time, as far as I know, the new policy allows for detransitioning procedures if the costly treatments do not resolve gender dysphoria. Well, I guess that would be a good thing, right? Because we know some people do make a mistake and they want to try to fix a mistake, even though it's not fixable. But then again, why is the Department of Defense getting involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
It is such a painful kind of thing. You think about it. It must be awful to go through life with being confused about your gender identity, and the treatments have all kinds of very bad side effects, especially the surgeries, and not only surgeries, but hormones and puberty blockers, all these kinds of things, they have negative effects. But people in the military are not being told about the side effects, about the ultimate futility of trying to change their sex from one to the other.
Yeah,
and that's just not right.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, it's impacting mental health. And
it
again,
is.
We go back to unit cohesion, unit readiness. Everything is at risk.
Right. And if anything goes wrong, it holds commanders directly responsible for all alleged biases against transgender individuals. Now, let's suppose that we have a biological, and there's a vignette, by the way. It's like a little story to demonstrate how the policy is supposed to work. And one of the vignettes in the Department of Defense instruction has a man, biological male turned female, who now is assigned to the female showers. And what should the commander do? Now, this is a trick question, because if the commander tries to accommodate the women who don't want a biological male in their showers, he might be accused of being anti-transgender. On the other hand, if he insists that the women have to get used to it, that certainly is a blow to good order, discipline, and morale. I mean, there's not much privacy as it is in the military. And you're only complicating things and making it much worse. So it's, again, not a winning situation. It's a lose-lose situation. And yet this is the official policy of the Department of Defense. Now, on our website, there's a feature article that shows a young man doing a drag queen striptease on the carrier Ronald Reagan, okay? He's a sailor, and he is a drag performer. That happened on that ship in 2018. That was during the Trump administration, and nothing was done about it. So is it any surprise that under this administration, we have drag queens proliferating all over the place, and many of these drag queen performances called story hours, family-friendly, children are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a distortion of womanhood. You have a man who's dressed up in an exaggerated, burlesque sort of way. These performances are sexualized. I witnessed one once. And this is for adults only. It is not for children. These performances do get into sexual suggestiveness and worse. And, Some are relatively mild, but it always seems to veer into inappropriate behavior. And there are those who say, well, so what? Well, some parents may say, well, I don't have a problem with that. What about the parents that do?
Yeah.
You see, there's here you're talking about more traditional families in the military. When you look at what's happened with Walt Disney, Walt Disney said, well, we're going to have LGBT content in our films, our products, the television programs, Disney Plus. And a lot of parents, they're okay with that. But more parents are saying, no, we're not okay with that. And Disney is in trouble right now because they diss their own basic audience. The military cannot afford to do the same thing. It doesn't matter in the biggest scheme of things what happens with Disney, but it does matter when you turn away families, the primary audience in the military. When you feed children CRT and drag queens and all of this that is very divisive in traditional families, well, then what do you do? And, if we haven't talked about doctors and nurses and chaplains, if they don't go along with this ideology, well, they don't really have a choice either.
Yeah, and that's another important point, because we're talking about, free exercise of religion, et cetera. And,
yes.
But some of these mandates are being placed upon chaplains themselves. You must bless this. You must, authorize this. Put your blessing upon this here. And even though it goes against their charter from their church or denomination, whatever it may be, this requirement is being placed on them.
Right. And that certainly frustrates the purpose of chaplains who represent the traditional faith.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are some, but they're okay with this. But the majority are not.
Yeah.
And the recruiting crisis that we went through last year, which is yet to be resolved, this appears to be a contributing factor, and we can't have an all-volunteer force if we don't have volunteers. So when children are taught America is a racist nation, our founding fathers were racist, why should they sign up to serve in the military? This is a real serious problem, and having a transgender policy like the Biden administration has foisted on the troops. Again, this falls under the definition of woke, because it is progressivism taken to extremes with coercion, even if it hurts the institution. Okay, so it falls under that definition.
Yeah, indeed. And, the recruiting goals this year are being missed on so many different fronts.
Right.
When the executive order President Biden's looking at, and you've made reference to an executive order, but it's an executive order on further advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. That's going to impact the military.
Yes. Now, Section 10 of this executive order, and we just did a new analysis of it. It's not posted high on the website just yet. But Section 10 had the definition of equity is the consistent and systematic treatment of all individuals in a fair, just, and impartial manner, including individuals who belong to communities that are, often have been denied such treatment. In other words, underserved communities. What follows is a long paragraph, a list of all the underserved communities. But guess who's left out of this list of underserved communities? Healthy white males who are young or middle-aged, financially secure, English proficient, and Christian. So everybody gets served in the underserved communities, but not people who are, as I just said, white male, young or middle-aged, financially secure, English proficient, and Christian. This is a deliberate form, again, another example of wokeism. And I think that there's a reason for this. This is the fourth executive order that this administration has come out with. There's three more before it. Why now? And this one is more extreme than any of them because it sets up a huge bureaucracy. All of the departments of the military, the Department of Defense, agencies are affected, but that's not all. Other departments of government, okay, everything, you know, state and energy and agriculture, every department of government is affected by this executive order. They're all going to have to set up what are called agency equity teams within 30 days, and the equity teams will provide an annual report to Susan Rice. She's the president's domestic policy director. She was national security advisor under Barack Obama. So you've got all these agency equity teams. She's got a steering committee. They report once a year, and it's all about equity. It's not about individual rights, non-discrimination. In the case of the military, it certainly is not about military readiness. I'm mostly concerned about DOD. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing this? Because the Supreme Court has been hearing two cases that are challenging racial discrimination in higher education. You're going to hear more about these cases if you haven't already. Harvard and the University of North Carolina have been accused of deliberate racial discrimination in order to achieve equity. Okay. Now, with the makeup of the court, it's very likely that this court will end these practices. But the Department of Justice was in the courtroom arguing that they should continue. They want to continue discrimination. Because they say West Point and ROTC programs, they have to have the option of discriminating on the basis of race. Now, we don't know what the court will do. They will either ignore the arguments involving the military. They could have a carve-out for the military, which is unlikely but possible. We don't know. But in the meantime, the administration is getting ahead of the Supreme Court. In the same way, that remember how before the Dobbs decision on abortion?
Yeah.
The pro-abortion forces, you know, rallied, and they, right, in states like my own, Michigan, they passed the most radical, it was a referendum, wiping out all of the state protections for parents and limitations on abortion. It all was swept away because they were ready for that Supreme Court decision, and although the pro-life forces tried as best they could, they didn't have the resources to fight that. So now here in Michigan, we're among the most pro-abortion states in the union, and it's really hard to see this. But this is what I think the administration is doing in reverse. They want all their diversity, equity, inclusion stuff to be institutionalized,
yeah,
with all of these bureaucracies in a way that would be politically impossible to get rid of.
Military included, ladies and gentlemen. But as she mentioned, this is universal. I mean, we're talking about education, energy, housing, urban development, veterans affairs, every aspect. We've got more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Dave Cristiano has produced and directed impactful Christian films addressing timely issues. This month, offered is a set of his productions, including the 90-minute Power of the Air, in which a missionary from Africa warns of the danger the church in America is facing due to the influence of the media the church is consuming. Also in this package are three 25-minute productions from 7th Street Theater, including On the Air, addressing the issue of depression, The Bus Stop, addressing the matter of prayer, and Mayday, an evangelistic film comparing the days of Noah to the return of Christ. This set of DVDs is available for a donation of $20 with additional sets to the same address for an additional $12 donation per set. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. You may also visit vcyamerica.org.
Clock is moving so quickly today here on Crosstalk. Elaine Donnelly is our guest. We're hitting an important issue, military readiness or military wokeness. And as Elaine shared at the very beginning, if you just joined us, this wokeness, as she defined it, is dealing with it's another name for progressivism or what we knew as liberalism, but taking it to extremes with coercion, even if it hurts the institution, even if it hurts, we're going to do this. And that's exactly what we see taking place. We've hit a couple issues already, Elaine. Something else that's very troubling to me, and I'm sure to many, is we see these alliances being formed right now, China, Russia, Iran. And how is it that our Department of Defense sees climate change as the existential threat of our time?
It's so absurd. When you see these kinds of things happening, and our president and high-level officials, all they do is go to climate convocations in Europe and elsewhere. It really is embarrassing to see how skewed the priorities are of this administration. And as I said before, they keep denying that we have a woke military, even as they prove it over and over again that that particular label fits. It fits the definition, taking progressivism to extremes with coercion, even if it hurts the institution. And that's what we're seeing on almost every issue. In fact, I would say in every issue. The best interests of the armed forces of the United States, having a strong military, are being assigned secondary priority. Again, it's up to Congress to intervene here. There is legislation pending to get rid of CRT, to end the transgender policies, including the idea that a gender marker, bureaucratic gender marker, can be changed to reflect gender identity and ignoring biological sex. Congress wants to tell the bureaucracy, no, we make policy for the military under the Constitution, and we expect you to recognize biological sex. Now, it would really be a step forward if that legislation would pass. We'll have to see what happens. But it certainly should be a major issue in the upcoming presidential races, and there's a lot of work to be done to repair the damage that's already been done.
Do you believe that the military is purposefully trying to purge out those who are Christian or conservative or concerned about moral values?
Well, there's no concern that you see. When you look at the Department of Defense Instruction 1330-28, you see no concern there. Conscience clauses, they're not even mentioned. There's no allowance there for people who have either religious conviction or ethical concerns. The pressure to operate or have gender dysphoria treatments, puberty blockers and the like on children, when people have medical concerns about that, medical ethics concerns, which may or may not involve a religious background, there's no concern on any of that or for any of that. And it is disturbing to see how they used to be called social engineers. The social engineering now has gotten to the point of just beyond what any of us ever predicted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite amazing that they really seem to believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's frightening, isn't it?
When it really is.
People,
Oh,
yes, that person claims that he's a woman, therefore he must be treated as a woman. And that person gets access, must share the private facilities of biological women. And we haven't even gotten into the athletic teams yet. Mm-hmm. Just wait till we see the female wrestling team at West Point have their first male competitor.
Yeah, yeah.
If they haven't already.
Are
happening already, and we just don't know about it.
In all of these things, Elaine, are we at the point of no return, or is there a solution here?
There is, and it has to do with the principle that the military is governed by civilians, okay? Civilian control of the military is very important, but it's a double-edged sword. When you have an administration, as we do now, that assigns priority to woke principles rather than reality, rather than the best interests of the military, it will have its effect because elections have consequences. But the next election, the next Congress, certainly Congress has a role here under the United States Constitution. They can and should pass legislation that changes the priorities to what they should be. And there's a number of bills that are already in the hopper that are already being talked about and advocated on the Hill, and I'm encouraged by that.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the military is a resilient institution. Certainly after Jimmy Carter, the military was hollowed out. It was a wreck, okay? In comes Ronald Reagan, and he rebuilt the military with 600-some ships almost. He built missile defense. He did things like that, and he won the Cold War without firing a shot. But Reagan's job was easy compared to what the next president will have to do, because all Reagan had to do was build those ships and the missile defense and all the rest of it. Those were hardware things. That was easy. The next president is going to have to rebuild the culture of the military.
Wow.
That's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of the military says cohesion is paramount. Cohesion means mutual trust for survival in combat. That's the proper definition. It's not just going out for beers and getting along. It means trust for survival. When you have women being trained in the military beyond their physical capabilities and being put into military occupational specialties, MOSs, that are known to be beyond their physical capability, and when they adjust the standards accordingly to make sure that it happens that way, you're endangering lives. And you know, people say, well, how long can that go on? Well, it can go on as long as people allow it to continue. It could change, though, under a new president, and certainly I hope that will be the case. And we're going to be very active in the presidential race, raising issues that we have in the past. The Republican National Platform is very solid, very conservative, but every potential candidate has got to take this seriously. You can't play around and say, oh, yes, we're all for LGBT demonstrations and the Pentagon and drag queens and all the rest, and then expect to be taken seriously as a commander-in-chief. It just doesn't work that way.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're opening our phone lines. If you have a question or a brief comment today, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're speaking with Elaine Donnelly. She is the president of the Center for Military Readiness, and their website, cmrlink.org, cmrlink.org. Elaine, you are keeping people abreast through your website. Do you have email alerts that people can subscribe to as well?
Yes, that's correct. 3Ws.cmrlink.org. That's our website. The feature article right now is about the new transgender policy. And if you look on the side where it says issues, there's a wide range of different issue articles that we have. And we do send out CMR e-notes from time to time. And we depend on contributions, tax-deductible contributions from individuals who care about our military. So we, as civilians, we need to encourage Congress to have responsible oversight to implement sound policy. Our mission is unique because we are a mixture of civilian and active duty and retired military, and we concentrate on the military social issues. But it's a very busy situation to be in right now because the administration is so far off base on so many different issues. It really is hard to keep up. But we do our best, and we appreciate the support of people who say, yeah, CMR is doing a good job, and I'll support them. We appreciate everybody's contributions.
Again, folks, the website is cmrlink.org. Let's go to the phone lines, which are packed out. Let's begin with Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. All of this stuff, this equity, inclusion, CRT, needs to be scrapped. The CRT, just putting it in a nutshell, is nothing but ginning up anger between people groups. Equity, you just can't have equality anymore. You've got to have equity. Includes equity. Includes equality of result. that means somebody's getting preferential treatment, and that's not going to help either.
That is exactly right.
And
if you
inclusion,
have equity, if you also have equality of treatment, that means if everybody's treated the same, some will excel more than others. You can't have some bureaucrat coming along and saying, "Oh no, we're going to have equity, so that means we're going to have so many people make up for the fact that they didn't do as well, and we'll call that the best way to go." It's not. And Brad is absolutely right.
And in the military, that can cost lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then inclusion, while that's pretty much including the sexual perverts, the sodomites, and the trannies. And another thing, this boy-girl stuff. These kids are doing this, are getting taught this stuff in school, and they're being coached what to say. And they're being protected from their own parents because of this. Mm-hmm. This stuff has to stop.
Brad, thank you for the call here today.
Thank you.
Let's go to Cindy in McAllen, Texas. Cindy, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, why in the has nobody mentioned that it is that the LGBT, it is idolatry? They're playing God. Whenever they want to change their bodies or make themselves out to be something that God didn't make them to be, mm-hmm. it's idolatry. I just want to know why no one has mentioned that.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. To me, it's illogical to say that when science tells us DNA is there in every cell of a person's body, even before birth, from the moment of conception, you're either a boy or a girl, okay? And for people who should know better, grown people, adults, even scientists saying, you can change your sex if you change your appearance and lop off some body parts and that'll make it all better. It makes no sense. And, some have said that certainly is a way of trying to play God. And I don't like the way people are being misled to think that it really is true when it's not.
Thank you for the call here today. We've got Merle next in Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, three quick things. We need to call this wokeism what it is, communism. The next thing is Jeremiah 51, talking about the mighty men of Babylon. It says they have lost their strength, it has failed, and they have become as women. Hmm. Also, the current regime, they said recently that they're at the core of their foreign policy is transgenderism. At the core of their foreign policy.
Yeah.
So we are spreading this around the globe, not just here.
But thank you for that. And it's an important point because that's what's going on here, Elaine. We are trying to force this social agenda on nations around the world.
Yes, that's happening. Certainly the Department of State has been very active in that in some countries of the world that are socially very conservative. And they're being forced, we're not going to give you foreign aid unless you do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is happening a lot, and it's not right.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're just less than half a minute to our break, so let's take the break and we'll come back to other callers. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. If you want to stay informed on these, again, with the emphasis on military readiness, cmrlink.org. CMRlink.org. That CMR stands for Center for Military Readiness, and you'll find much helpful information on their site. We're speaking today with their president, Elaine Donnelly, and we'll take more of your calls, questions after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 13th, 2023, it is out there online that a video game was released that is all about transgenders fighting gender fascists. And the gender fascists, well, they are Christians. They're conservatives. The video game depicts breaking people free from a gender fascist concentration camp and includes the killing of an individual wearing a clerical robe with a cross on the left and right chest. Interesting and sad that this video came out in January, and just a few weeks later, we have an attack by an admitted transgender individual attacking a Christian school and killing 3 adults and 3 children. Is there the setting up and the hunting of Christians? I'm Brandon House.
Military readiness or military wokeness? Our topic today with Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness. Again, their website, cmrlink.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Kurt in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You've been holding the longest. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. First comment I have is just the use of CRT or critical race theory. Coming from a engineering background, to me, theory is always something that has been proven. So I struggle with the concept of critical race. I don't know what they're referring to as critical being. To me, it's more of a hypothesis than a theory on a race situation. So Elaine, if you could comment on that. And then just to follow up, too, I have a friend from Israel, you know, about women in the military. I guess in Israel, as soon as you turn 16, whether you're male or female, you have to be part of their military service. And I follow a fighter pilot on LinkedIn, and she flew A-10s over in Afghanistan, and that's a very wicked fighter jet. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with women in the military as long as they're in the right place.
Thank you for the call. Elaine, those two comments, CRT women in the military.
Right. I didn't quite catch every word of what the caller was saying, but critical race theory, it started as an academic theory. It certainly is far leftist, Marxist in its roots. No one, I think, expected it to be embraced so quickly and taken down into the high school and the elementary school level. But that is indeed what has happened. It is racially divisive. Books like Ibram Kendi, How to Be an Anti-Racist, or White Fragility, these books are in the Department of Defense schools, and they're divisive. They teach people that you're either an oppressor or you're being oppressed by the oppressors, the white supremacists versus the underserved communities. It's inherently divisive. I don't think it's true. Yes, we have had times in our history where racism did indeed change the course of decisions in a very harmful way. It was an ugly thing or an institution that occurred in history in many countries. But the United States fought a civil war to bring it to an end. And if you read these books, CRT books, you hear nothing about that or very little, or the founding fathers are accused of being racist and the entire Constitution being accused of being racist. So I have a problem with that. With regard to women in the military, women serve and they do a very fine job. I support women in the military, too. The primary concern is the direct ground combat units, the ones that attack the enemy. This means infantry, special operations forces and the like, armor, artillery. Being in danger doesn't fit that definition. Women do serve in danger. They're in harm's way, and that's why we honor and respect them. With regard to aviation, the threat there is becoming a prisoner of war. Quite often, if pilots are shot down, they become prisoners of war. Fortunately, that did not occur in the most recent wars that we've had in our nation, but it is a consideration as to it's one of the higher risks of having women in that particular combat community.
We've got Gerald calling from Lake Mills, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Gerald.
Yes, in relation to the woke policies and the LGBT garbage in the militaries, isn't it possible that one of their ultimate goals, besides weakening us, is they will not have a voluntary military, therefore they can pass the draft again and basically pick and choose who they want, and you have no option?
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. Recruiting is a serious concern. I hope that if we have new leadership in the military, the recruiting situation will improve, but I just don't see how that's going to happen under current situations. Mm-hmm. The having a draft involuntary in conscription would be very problematic because the all-volunteer force is very high-tech. You have to have very high level of capability and expertise. If you bring in draftees involuntarily, then that is socially very, very disruptive. Okay. And we don't want to go back to that era as we did in the era of Vietnam. That would be a very high price to pay.
Thank you, Gerald.
Defend our country.
Patrick is next in Missouri. You're on the air, Patrick.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question's very similar. I would just ask Elaine to elaborate what her knowledge is about the numbers that they're talking about that we have to get to before they're going to reinstate the draft. Have they been set? I would think they would because they have to do pre-planning on that. They can't just wait till it happens. And then kind of a follow-up to that is if they do reinstate the draft, how woke is it going to be? Have they talked about that?
Okay, thank you.
Well, if you go to my website, you'll see a number of articles about Draft Our Daughters legislation. It could come up again this year. We haven't seen it yet, but it could come up this year. There was a national commission that advocated for women to be involved in conscription. Unfortunately, that does not make a lot of sense militarily. It would be unfair to women. It would not be supportive of our military. We had to fight those pieces of legislation back. And so far, so good. But as far as we're concerned, that is non-negotiable. We don't want to have a draft. We don't want, and if we did have a draft, which is unlikely, but if we did, we should not be drawing in great numbers of people who are not physically qualified for the rigors of combat. That's the only reason you would draft anybody for combat positions or to replace combat people who have fallen in battle. And if women are known not to have the physical capabilities that men do, and we know that, that's scientific, then why would we draw in so many people knowing that the greatest percentage of them are not going to be qualified? It would jam up the system at a minimum, and it would be counterproductive. So we've debated that. I think we had the most compelling arguments. Arguments in favor were practically non-existent. So we managed to beat it back, but it could come up again. You never know.
Thank you for that. Eddie, we have time. Just a quick question or quick comment.
Yes. I'd like to suggest that the states have a militia like Governor DeSantis has instituted in Florida.
Okay. Tell you what, quick comment on that as our theme music is coming up here, Elaine.
I wasn't aware that there was a militia in Florida other than the National Guard. You'll have to educate me on that. I'm not aware of it. The basic bottom line is the all-volunteer force is a force for good in the world. It needs support. It's the only military we have. We as civilians have the responsibility to make sure that Congress oversees everything that happens to the military.
Elaine Donnelly with us here today. Their website, cmrlink.org. Elaine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Tell a friend and share this link with others as well.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.